You know that chain thing, I taught Jeremy that when he was a little kid. Just, he was always wanting to play with my chains, you know, hanging down from my pants and all that. So I said, hey, you know, one day he might play an instrument, the chains or something. It's really true. Jeremy's my son. He has a faux hawk, I have a full hawk. So I'm a little grandson, he has a baby hawk out there, and it's really true. You have to see him a little later. You know, Mike and Amber Bibelhammer? You know that's German for Bible hammer, which in our translation is Bible thumper. So I just thought she'd want to know that. You know, she really liked that name. She's a Bible thumping woman. Ain't no better kind. How many of you know what it means to get punked? I don't see any hands out there. Of course, I don't see anything out here, but okay, to get punked, right, okay. So, tonight is entitled, Don't Get Punked. That's a creative title, isn't it? Don't Get Punked. How many of you saw Borat? At least most of you have some taste. A few people here with no taste, but that's okay. I'm teasing. So, Borat is this guy, Sasha Cohen, who got his big break in Will Ferrell's Talladega Nights. I wouldn't advise you to see that one either. It's a little crass. But he's that weird racer that Will Ferrell's up against in the movie. And so Sasha Cohen, he gets this crazy, whacked idea to pretend that he is this reporter from this far-out country that he makes up, something between Uzbekistan and Yugosistan, and it's got some weird name. Anybody know? There you go. Okay. So he comes over here, and he does all these phony interviews, but they seem real. And so he makes all these people look like they're complete idiots, which a lot of them are. And before he does these interviews with them, he makes them sign this piece of paper. Now there's a bunch of them that want to sue him because they saw themselves up in the movie and realized they look like real fools, but they can't because they signed the paper. They got punked. Now he's coming out with a new movie. And he ended up, get this, Sasha Cohen is Jewish. So maybe because of that, he was able to interview a couple Mossad agents. That's like interviewing the black ops of the CIA. They also signed the paper, not realizing what this was all about, and now they're in the movie looking like a couple of idiots. They got punked. So, if you're driving an SUV right now, paying $4 a gallon, and you still owe $25,000 on the vehicle, you got punked. There's a lot of people in the United States that got punked, didn't they? It's kind of sad and laughable all at the same time. I mean, gas has been going up, right, for years. And Americans, I don't want to drive a little car. I don't care if it gets 30 miles a gallon. I want to drive a little car. I want an SUV. I want a Navigator. I want my Escalade or my Range Rover or whatever in between. And all of a sudden, and people buy it on time and they got these $350 a month payments or $290 payments a month. They got 6 years to pay it off. They owe, by the time they pay it all, about $40,000-$50,000. Gas goes to $2, then to $2.50, then to $3, then to $3.25, then to $3.50, then up to $4. Now it's back to $3.53. And the value of the SUV's plummeted, and now it's worth less than what they owe. And there was a story that night on the news of a lady who decided, I don't care, I'm going to get a car that gets better mileage. So she saves $44 a month in gas, but it's going to take her, get this, this is on the news, 42 years to pay off the upside down value of the SUV that she traded in. She got punked. A lot of people got punked. I mean, there's probably not many of you here tonight that wish, oh Lord, I wish I had an SUV, $45,000 one, that every time I filled it up was $112. That'd be really cool. Then we look at, in the news today, Highest level of foreclosure in 29 years. All over the country, people are foreclosing their homes. Banks are folding. The feds now happen to become like bail people out. And Alan Greenspan is warning people today, oh my gosh, don't view the Federal Reserve as a magic piggy bank. So what happened? People got punked. How? Well, they wanted a house. But many people, not everybody, wanted more house than they could really afford. And the bankers, they're more than glad. They're not your friends. Just let me tell you real quick. The lending agent is not your friend. And so they come up with this new product called subprime. In other words, you don't even get to the prime interest. You pay below what's owed on the house. All of a sudden, I have friends that a few years ago, when they bought the house was valued at $200,000. Now it's worth $130,000. And all of a sudden, the subprime loan that helped them get into more house than they could really afford, but they really wanted to, now is worth less. And the prime interest changed, and it locked in at $400 to $700 more per month. They got punked. It's really happening to real people. They're getting punked in real life. Not like Ashton Kutcher's little show, Punked, on cable television, where it's all, in the end, just a joke and you can get out of it. These folks are now stuck. Life's like that, you know. Life isn't like a reality game show. Life isn't like Sex and the City. Venereal disease is real. Having babies is real. Having to face what you're going to do without a committed relationship, without a marriage, it's real. And all of a sudden, you got punked in life. And life is very unforgiving. God is not, but life is very unforgiving. Now, let me give just a brief little background for a moment. When I started The Rock 10 years ago, it's because, and why I'm doing it today, and why I'll do these kinds of things for the rest of my life, is because I have a passion to help young men and women. I care deeply about young men and women. I care about the struggles and the difficulties they face, and I care about the fact that they're being lied to, systematically misled, duped, deceived, punked on a regular basis. By organizations, by people they ought to be able to trust. And my genuine goal is to be able to save them. To be able to help them change their lives. To be able to get out of the messes they're in and avoid future messes. And you know what? Honestly, and again, I could bring people up here that could tell you it's really happened. Their lives have been changed. There's so many people that come to this church that over the years have come that have been royally punked, really duped, really deceived by a number of different things. And they come and their life's really broken and they're really messed up because they believed a lie. They got lied to. They got tricked. And today, their lives are radically different. And many of those people who were standing up here in that long line helping with our small groups and our house churches are some of those people with real life stories, with real messes. And Christ changed their life. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus makes this statement. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give you life in all of its fullness. Now, I want to tell something to you honestly about this life. Everything in this life, apart from God, is a lie. It is a lie. Life is one giant deceptive joke. If you do not build your life on God's truth, you will end up punked. You will end up messed up, screwed up, tricked up, deceived, bankrupt, in debt. Your relationships will be bankrupt. Your life will be bankrupt. You're going to screw up your family. And you are just at the beginning of your lives. You really are. Almost every person in this room tonight, almost, I could be your father. You are just at the beginning of your life. And God has great things for your life. God wants to do something significant, special, unique in your life. He wants to do something meaningful with your life. The world has a different agenda. The great adversary that Jesus talked about, that we refer to as the devil or the evil one, he has an agenda for your life. And his agenda is to trick you, to deceive you, to get his hooks in you. And he looks so good. I'm going to share with you a couple of examples tonight of the reality of how he looks so good. And then how he hurts you so bad. And God has a different plan for your life. God wants to do something, as I said, meaningful with your life. Now, you ask yourself, would I like to be with a subprime loan right now, with the market dropped out of the housing, owing $600 more a month than I thought I was going to owe? No. I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants to be in that situation. I don't think there's anybody in this room who would like to be upside down in a vehicle they bought a year and a half ago that gets 12 miles a gallon, and it's beautiful, and it's got a DVD player in the back and the front, and the seats go up and down, and it'll eject you, and you can parachute from it, and might even float. And it costs you $120 every 3 days to fill up for gas, and the payment on it is $350, and the insurance on it is $250. Now listen very carefully to this. You do not want to end up living the wrong life. Cars are child's play. House, that's pressure, but it's child's play compared to ending up realizing one day, 10 years from now, 8 years from now, 5 years from now, 15, 20, 30, 50, I got punked my whole life. I lived the wrong life. I missed it. I missed everything God had for me. I messed up my family. I messed up my marriage. I messed up my sexuality. I messed up my money. I messed up me. And life just passed you by. I'm not making any of this up. I deal in broken lives. I've been doing it for 22 years. And I've met every kind of person you can imagine with every kind of story. But when you boil it all down, it all comes down to basically the same thing. They got punked. They got duped. They got tricked. They got deceived. And it didn't have to be that way. In the book of Matthew, again, we find the words of Jesus when he was here. And it's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. And it is this single passage, really, that helps you grasp what it is you need to do so that you don't get punked in the things that matter most. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is very wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floods waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Jesus is using a little analogy, a little story to illustrate life, you see. All of us live life. We've been given the gift of life. During our lives, we can make a choice on whose worldview, whose values, whose principles, whose ideas, whose ideology we're going to live by. And it is ideology and beliefs upon which you build your house. They are the building blocks of your life. They're the bricks, the sand, the mortar, the cement. You can choose God's truth, or you can choose the shifting sand of man's ideas, man's ideology, all of which, by the way, you can examine very carefully and see the faults. For example, we just take just briefly communism/socialism. The last entire century was an experiment in millions, hundreds of millions of people's lives of the broken ideology of socialism and communism. You had more people murdered, slaughtered by the hundreds of millions in the last century. More were killed than in all centuries combined previous to that. The vast majority slaughtered and murdered by communist/socialist regimes in the former Soviet Union and in China. And yet there's still people who think that's a worthy ideology. That's a worthy way to form a government. And it's folly, because it was tested in real life and people were slaughtered and their freedoms were robbed from them. And you can see, you can look at people who live together. People who think the grand experiment, let's throw off God's restraint when it comes to morality. We're going to talk about this a little bit tonight because it has such a devastating impact on your personal life. The divorce rate's high enough, but for those who live with the person before they marry, their rate of divorce is almost 3 to 4 times as high. It's no commitment. God never meant any relationship between a man and a woman to be sexual until there was the commitment of marriage and the safety of that commitment. But you know, we think by now, man has lived so long, we've outsmarted God. Who needs God? Who needs what God has to say? Who needs God's truth? Who needs God's morality? And so what do we have? We have unprecedented killing of unborn children. We have unprecedented venereal disease. We have women who, once they marry, this is a reality. I counsel with couples, I've done it for years, whose sexual relationship is broken because she's so inhibited and she's so tired of being used. And we have men who only know how to make love to a woman out of lust. They have no idea how to tenderly nurture her and serve her and lay their lives down for her. And so you have broken after broken relationship. God's word stands. And when you build your life, see, on God's truth, we're going to have problems. People who believe in God have problems just like anyone else. The difference is their house is solid. It's built on a solid foundation. And you might lose a few windows, a few shingles might fly off, but the house will stand. But those who build their life, their life on the ideology, on the values, on the beliefs of this world, they get punked. And they think their house, listen, I'm going to give you a perfect example of what it's like. It's pure insanity. I don't know, this whole Gustav thing, I hope you watch TV. Let me tell you what it was like. This is Lake Pontchartrain. Back there by the door is the Gulf and part of the river. And down here, 13 feet below those, they built the city. And they rebuilt the city after all those people died and all those houses were ruined. They put billions back into it, and we almost got slaughtered again. The Indians, way back 200 years ago, told them, don't build here. Now listen, I'm not blaming people in New Orleans who moved down there in good faith to buy a house. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you step back, you go, my goodness, someone needs to have the courage to go, this isn't a good idea. A little bit like someone needs the courage to say, listen, gang, listen, all this craziness that people call fun, all this using the opposite sex. Some of you are just here, you're just starting college, and there'll be lots of hooking up and there'll be lots of drinking up, and I'm going to talk about those two things tonight. And everybody thinks, oh man, it's awesome, oh, it's incredible. You're going to get punked. You've already been punked, if that's what you think. Britney Spears has been punked. Lindsay Lohan's been punked. Brad Pitt got punked. Jennifer Ashton got punked. They just had a little more money than you, and it sort of softened the blow, and now they're getting punked again. Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez punked people, and now they're together. We'll see how long that lasts. I'll be alive long enough to see if it makes it. The devil in the world will make a fool of you and then they'll kill you. They'll make a fool of you and then they'll kill you. Amy Winehouse getting punked. It really makes me sick the way these leeches will make money off these young people. It makes me so irate. And she can wear hair as funky as she wants and paint herself as crazy as she wants and walk out on stage and people go, ooh and ah, she has talent. The girl's brain, her friends are begging for help. Her brain has been fried on meth and on marijuana. Chris Farley, he got punked. I thought he was a tremendous talent. But no one stopped. No one stood up to him. No one said, Chris, stop. Stop with the prostitutes. He was addicted to them. Stop with the alcohol. Stop. You need help. And he woke up dead. This world, listen to me, it's not your friend. I want to share with you an example tonight from the Bible. One of the beautiful things about God is that He's honest. He doesn't hide the flaws of His people. He loves them. He cares about them. But He's going to tell you the truth about them. One of the stories of the Bible, which is a true story, by the way, is the story of a man named Samson. And Samson was an extraordinarily strong man. He was not strong because he lifted a lot of weights like Arnold. He was strong because God gave him supernatural power. Kind of like Celine Dion can sing. Now, did she develop the gift? Yes. But, oh my gosh, where did the gift come from? Or Christina Aguilera, just off the hook. The girl can just unbelievably do things with her voice. Did she develop the gift? Yes, but without the gift, she's nothing, right? Nothing. Like, I don't have that gift. Samson had a gift. That's what I mean. He had a gift. He could lift things, throw things, and rip things apart in a way that others could not. He was incredibly strong. Samson was a young man, and like so many young men, he had a problem. His problem was women. Not blaming women for Samson's issue, it's just that Samson allowed women to be a problem. One day, Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. You know, Samson liked hanging out with the Philistines. He was supposed to lead God's people, see? And he's supposed to judge them righteously and impart wisdom to them and help them against their enemies. Instead, Samson was hooked on their women because they were wild and they were loose and they were crazy. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and they waited all night at the city gate. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, when light comes in the morning, we'll kill him. But Samson stayed in bed only till midnight. Probably messed around long enough, thought I'm getting tired of laying here. And then he got up and took hold of the gates of the city with both posts, lifted them, bar and all, right out of the ground, put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. He was sexually virile and he was extremely strong and he was out of control. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The leaders of the Philistine went to her and said, "Find out from Samson what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." It's a lot more than Judas got. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up." He must have thought something pretty freaky was going to happen. Samson replied, hey, don't laugh so loud there. "If I'm tied up..." Well, he must have, right? I mean, the guy's got to be thinking with something else besides his brains. So Samson replied, I'm telling you, the Bible's really honest. So Samson replied, "But if I'm tied up with 7 new bowstrings," he said, "this will be a fun game, "that have not yet been dried, I'll be as weak as anyone else." So the Philistine leaders brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. She had hidden some men in one of the rooms of the house, and she cried out, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the bowstrings as if they were string that had been burned in a fire, so the secret of his strength was not discovered. Afterwards, Delilah said to him, "You made fun of me. You told me a lie. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely." Samson replied, "Oh, well, if I'm tied up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I'll be as weak as anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and she tied him up with them. The men were hiding in the room as before, and again Delilah cried out, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were thread. Then Delilah said, "You have been making fun of me and telling me lies. Won't you please tell me how you can be tied up securely?" And you got to be thinking to yourself, what is Samson thinking? You know what he's thinking? The longer I stay here, the more sex I get. That's all he's thinking. He's an idiot. He's been punked. He doesn't even know it. This is a game to him. The longer I'm with you, the more sex I get. And no matter what you do to me, I get out of it anyway. He doesn't stop to think that, something funny is going on here. I don't know. Seems like she's trying to get somewhere with all of this. And why is it every time I wake up, there's men in the room? I don't know, man. So Samson said, "If you weave the 7 braids of my hair into fabric on your loom..." Now, do you get an idea how long his hair was? His hair had never been cut. In order to weave hair into a loom, I got a feeling it's down to here. A little bit longer than Fabio's, because you got to, when he's laying down, reach it to the loom. So this is long hair. "And you tighten it with the loom shuttle, I will be as weak as anyone else." So while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into fabric and tightened it with the loom shuttle. Again she cried out, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. Then Delilah pouted. That's what'll always happen, guys. Okay. She pouted. "How can you say you love me when you don't confide in me? You made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." So day after day after day, she nagged him until he couldn't stand it anymore. Why did he stay? Because sex, sex, sex. Let her nag. I don't care. I still get to sleep with her. Finally, Samson said, "My hair has never been cut, for I was dedicated to God." See, God had a plan for Samson. His parents knew that. He was dedicated to God. "If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as anyone else." Delilah realized she had finally gotten the truth. So she sent for the Philistines' leader, "Come back one more time." And they got to be thinking to themselves, "One more time, you've got to be kidding us. Okay, one more time." for everything he has told me is true," she said. So the Philistine leaders returned and brought the money with them. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. Boy, I'll bet that was an experience. And she called in a man to shave off his hair, making his capture certain, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, "I'll do as I did before. I'll shake myself free." But he didn't realize God had left him. Now it's too late, see. So listen to this. So the Philistines captured him, and they gouged out his eyes. And they took him to Gaza, where he was found bound with a bronze chain and made to grind grain in prison. That's called getting punked. And you don't have to get your eyes gouged out to get your eyes gouged out, if you know what I'm saying. Samson couldn't keep his pants on. Samson was like a lot of guys today. One conquest to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And they become absolutely incapable of a meaningful, viable relationship with the opposite sex. And then they think they could get married and make it last. They don't have a clue how to meet the needs of a woman or love her, physically or otherwise. And then they father children. They have no idea how to raise those children, and their eyes are gouged out. And of course, women can apply this as well. Let me read you another passage. I thought this Samson story was so good because, frankly, that's about all rap music is about. That's all a lot of music is about. You turn on just about, not every, but just about every television show, and it's all about getting somebody's pants, getting somebody's pants, getting somebody's pants. Not realizing all the time you've been punked. You've been punked so bad. You've been lied to so bad. You've been deceived so bad. And you are inflicting self-destruction on your life because you're ignoring God. Because you're ignoring the values and the ideology upon which you need to build your life so you can have the meaningful life God intended. Here's another area that I see so prevalent today with young men and women. You probably are going to be surprised. This is in the Bible. Whose heart is filled with anguish and sorrow? Who is always fighting and quarreling? Who is the man or woman with bloodshot eyes and many wounds? It is the one who spends long hours in the bars and at parties trying out new drinks. Don't let the sparkle and the smooth taste of strong wine deceive you. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You'll see things and be delirious. And you'll say foolish, stupid things that would embarrass you to no end if you were sober. You'll stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to the swaying mast. And afterwards you'll say, I didn't even know when they hit me. Give me another drink. You know how many lives have been ruined by alcohol? You know how many families have been ruined by alcohol? You ever see them show you that on television? They make every woman look like she was a babe. And every guy like he's got his life together. And yet I've dealt with one person after another whose life has been totally destroyed by this garbage. Because you thought you could have a little fun with it. And you got punked. You got punked. Families got punked. Lives have been ruined. Totally ruined. God really, truly loves you. God gave us the gift of sex. There is nothing wrong with sex. Lots of it. All kinds of different sex with the partner, the spouse, in marriage that God gives to you. But if you don't wait, I'll tell you, if you don't wait and you don't trust God and you don't build your life on the ideology of God, you're going to have some real sexual problems in your marriage. And I see people dealing with them all the time. And that's part of what I do is help them try to overcome how badly they were punked. and build their lives on God. And it's hard work. Let me tell you, it's hard, hard work. It can happen. It can happen as a person begins to build their life. I've seen people ruined by alcohol. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine, if you're legal age. The Bible says, in fact, that Jesus ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners. I don't want someone to walk out of here and think that I think all alcohol should be banned. The sad reality is that because of the terrible habits that are allowed to go on college campuses, or the lifestyle choices that young men and women make in high school, end up going so far overboard they become addicted, and they can't live without it, and it destroys their life. How many people have lost their virginity or done things they'd be so ashamed of because they got so loose with alcohol? Why do you think fraternities have parties and invite girls? Because girls get a little alcohol in them and they get very loose and free and giddy. And the resistance is down, and then the guys can get in their pants. That is the harsh, straight talk reality. God has better plans for you. He has better plans for you. He wants to do something more meaningful with your life. I'd like to end with a verse in the book of Galatians. I'd like you to think about it, because it's one of those verses that can really have quite an impact on a person's life if they decide to take God at His word. Do not be misled. That's what it means to be punked. Do not be punked. Remember, you cannot ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their carnal desires will harvest the consequence of decay, destruction, and death. So you can't ignore the moral laws of God any more than you can ignore the law of gravity. Now, once in a while, you may fall out of a tree and not get hurt. And that may make you pretty bold. And you may think, boy, any tree I jump out of any time, I'm going to be okay. You climb up to the top of this building and you decide to jump off. Fortunately, enough of us have fear, which is a good thing, a healthy thing in that situation. You're not going to jump. But some people jump. You're going to at least break some bones, if not splat your brains all over the concrete. Most of us, probably all of us, obey traffic lights. You know why? We don't like them. I mean, I don't like them. I'll admit it. I don't like them. But they bring order to chaos. Because everyone's so selfish that no one would want to stop for the other person. And I just want to flash my lights and honk my horn and I'll stay out of my way. Bam! Next thing you know, someone's paralyzed. Bones are broken. People are dead. And the reason we don't run stoplights is because we're afraid. You never know what might happen. I might get killed. We need to think about the moral laws of God, you see. There's a reward for honoring God. It's not just that God goes, oh, don't go there. It's that God says, don't go there because I want to give you this. If you build your life on this, you'll have something so rich and so meaningful, so significant. Sometime, probably won't tonight. Well, obviously I won't tonight. But I'll get into sex a whole lot more because there's a lot that you don't know, you think you know. I've had a lot of it because I've been married to the same woman for almost 30 years. Now that my kids are older, my kids, that was two of them up here tonight, now that they're older, they can handle me talking about it. When we first started the rock and they were coming, it was a little awkward. You know, you never want to think about your dad making love to your mom. It's just a little, you know, weird. It shouldn't be. It's all over the Bible, but, you know, it just is. But I could teach you a lot of things about the attitude and the perspective and the richness. But I'll give you this little tidbit. Not for me, but this is a research survey, okay? I know this is going to make a few of you turn red, so bear with me. This is from a news magazine, interviewed 100,000 women. All these women were a variety of backgrounds, but a lot of them were the swinging, single, Sex in the City type. And they asked those women how many of them regularly experienced orgasm. And it was less than 10%. And then they asked a very large group of evangelical Christian women, married, and the vast majority said, "I regularly experience orgasm." You know why? Because when you honor God, when you honor God and you do it God's way, it's pretty explosive. It's pretty explosive. But you aren't going to see Katie Couric talk about that. And you aren't going to see Oprah interview a bunch of evangelical Christian women about that, because they want you to stay stupid. They want you to keep believing the lies that are spread all over every magazine almost every day. Almost every day. Guys, the lie that a woman is the sum total of her body parts. Nothing could be farther from the truth. But you've been punked. And if you stay that way, you're going to miss what God has for you. Well, if this was your first night at the Rock, you probably got a lot to think about. You might be a little surprised. That's okay. You're free to write me anytime, Mark at Rock the Church. If you don't like something here, you disagree, you're free to disagree. Just write me, Mark at rockthechurch.com. It's easy to remember. My phone number also is not unlisted. I'm one of those guys who still has a normal landline phone. But I want you to know this, honestly. My commitment to you, and those who've been coming to the Rock for a number of years know, I'll always, by God's grace, tell you the truth and try to help you find God and know God and try to stand by you and help you grow and help you learn, because I care. Because I really, really care. My goal here in no way is to put someone down. Sometimes in the day and age in which we live, in order to make a point that hits us because we're so beyond being shocked anymore, sometimes I will use hyperbole, or I will use analogies, or I will say things that are a little shocking, and I do that on purpose just to be able to get through. I really appreciate you coming tonight. I really appreciate you checking us out and visiting. And if we can ever be of any help to you, that's why we're here, to help you, to love you, to care about you, and help you overcome so many of the obstacles that have been put in your way. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. That's what we usually do here. Then downstairs, if you go out the doors there and go to your left, right down the stairs, to your right down the stairs, we got lots of food for you, lots of refreshments, art, and you meet all the small group people down there and meet people. But I'll be hanging around a while. I'd love to meet you and say hi. Father, we just thank you tonight that you're such a good God. Lord, you're a good God. You've never punked anyone. You've never lied. You've never deceived. You've never misled. You've never tricked. You've never duped. Jesus, you said you were the way and the truth and the life. You said if you know the truth would set you free. Lord, you want us to be able to live free instead of enslaved to the lies and the foolish ideologies of this world that are destroying people's very lives. To the devil, it's all sport, but it's not to you, Lord. You love every single person in the world. You love every single person here tonight. And you have a meaningful, purposeful, wonderful, eternal plan for their lives. I pray they be able to discover it. I pray you bring them back with their friends in the following week, that they might find real truth and real life and real meaning and real significance. In Jesus' name, amen.